Father, we thank you. We can meet this morning to pray. And as we hear those familiar, he is risen indeed. We just need to be reminded of that great, 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 great fact, Lord, that you're not dead, but alive, victorious over sin, victorious over death, one of the greatest things that has ever happened, Lord. And here we are this morning in this place, and just want to pause for a few moments and think about the resurrection. Lead us and guide us now as we look at Psalm 16 this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 16, just to introduce you to Psalm 16, I'll just read a little bit of commentary from the best commentary on the Old Testament is the New Testament. And the heart of the message on Pentecost Sunday, the day the church was born, in a sense, and 3,000 souls were added, that's a pretty good sermon, isn't it? But what is the kind of the heart of the sermon? Well, we read here in Apostle Peter speaking, verse 22 of Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, and here's our psalm, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Amen to that? Isn't that awesome? So here we are, Psalm 16. Just want to look at it briefly. But that's the heart of it, as we've already read there in Acts chapter 2. It's called a miktam. We don't quite know what miktam means, but one definition that is pretty well accepted, it means golden jewel. So this is one of the golden jewel psalms of David. And it is really special when we think of what it's talking about, the resurrection of Christ victorious over death. He begins by saying, preserve me, or watch over me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Does that fit us so far? Who are we putting our trust in? Well, David is saying, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Think of that. Is that true for you? Can you say that? My goodness is nothing apart from you. It's certainly true, isn't it? As for the saints who are on the earth, they are excellent ones in whom is all my delight. I think David maybe is talking about his family there, or at least those who know the Lord. They're my delight. Now for the unexcellent ones, the unsaved ones, their sorrows, verse 4, shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. Now you might say, does that apply to today? We don't have little idols, do we, that we're clutching onto? Well, yes, we do. How about pornography? That's quite an idol. Of Ashtoreth, how about Molech, killing of babies? Yes, especially, I don't know about this part of the world, but I know in the United States we have aborted over 60 million babies in the last 40 plus years. So we still have those idols that we're worshiping and pleasure. I don't know how many football stadiums you look at. They don't seem to have any trouble drawing crowds, do they? Or sports or whatever. I'm not against that, except that we spend so much money on pleasure, don't we? And so little on time and effort on the Lord as a nation. Verse 5, O Lord, O Yahweh, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. What a great statement that is. The portion would be the overall inheritance that we have from the Lord. The cup is what we really partake of. That's what we really drink. That's really ours. So if you put a big portion of food out before a 1.5-year-old child, that's his portion, but his cup is what he actually ends up eating, right, or consuming. So you are my portion, Lord, and my cup. You maintain or preserve my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. And of course, the picture there, it would be like when Joshua laid out the lines for the tribal inheritance in the days of Joshua. Or back in Numbers, we have the priests being told by the Lord, I am your portion. You will have none of the land. You'll have a part of the positions of these cities, but you won't own any land because I am your portion. And is he your portion, I should say, as well. And then verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in night seasons. So how does the Lord give us his counsel? Well, primarily in the Word of God. But also he speaks to us. He speaks to us in dreams. He speaks to us in visions at times. And then David says, I have set the Lord always before me. It's quite a statement. How much does that fit me? How much does that fit you? Do you always set the Lord before you? Well, that would be our goal, would it not be? Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. The Lord is our protector, our shield, our guide. He is our protector, is he not? Then he says, therefore, now we're into that state. This is the section, verses 8, 9, 10, 11 that I read from Acts. It's quoted from here from the patriarch David, as he mentioned, the prophet. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. I just love the praises in the Psalms. Aren't they awesome? My heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. And so here is this messianic prophecy. Why is my flesh going to rest in hope? Why does David say, for you, Lord, will not leave my soul in Sheol? The Old Testament saints feared death because they believed the Messiah would come, but in the meantime, they didn't know what would happen to them. And they go to the holding place called the grave or Sheol. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, because David has the prophetic insight there of the Messiah coming and being resurrected, which occurred 1,000 years after his reign, approximately. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One, Jesus Christ, to see corruption. He will not die and stay dead in the tomb and corrupt like we will, our bodies will, because he has uncontaminated blood and he's the Son of God as well as man. You will not see corruption. You will show me the path of life. He is our path of life, isn't he? He's the only path of life. And of course, that's the good news of the gospel that we have and we're to proclaim to the world. You will show me the path of life. That's all of us, all saved people. That's the path of life. He is our life and our light. And then we read, in your presence is fullness of joy. If you carried a mirror around with you all day and you looked at your face quite often, would it be speaking that you have His presence and that is fullness of joy in your life? How many times are we in a kind of a mood of complaining and self-pity and life is so tough and, oh my, you don't know what I'm going through. That's all real, but whose are we anyway? And we have His presence, and His presence, it says here, is fullness of joy. So do you sense that joy in your life? And is that joy shining forth? That is the real witness that we are to be, is it not? At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So what a glorious message this is of the coming Messiah. He will be resurrected from the dead. He will give us life forever. And in His presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures evermore. Forevermore. Father, we thank You for this messianic psalm. We thank You for life. We thank You for Your victory over death. And Lord, we so readily assume that because it's happened. But as we think of the Old Testament saints, they could believe in there with their faith, as Abraham did, that the Messiah would come. But how hard it would be to think that and to believe that when He hadn't come yet. We already know that You've come. There was no Holy Spirit given to everybody until the day of Pentecost, and we have that Spirit in us. There was no completion of the Scriptures until after the Old Testament saints. So they had the Pentateuch for a long time, but they didn't have the rest of the Bible, certainly didn't have the New Testament in their day. And so it's just marvelous to see the demonstration of their faith, the demonstration of Abraham's faith, counted for righteousness, the prophets, including David, being able to write about You and Your coming and in Your presence is fulfillment of joy and pleasures forevermore, and that You would come and You would establish victory over death and over sin, reconciling mankind back to You. So we just say thank You, Lord. We don't have the words to express the gratitude that we need to express and want to express. But this morning we just say thank You. And we thank You for the opportunity to pray for this last partial day of the conference and for a completion of these few days that we've spent together with such wonderful times. But Lord, what will we take with us that we have heard in these great messages and so forth? What will we really take with us when we get on that plane or train or whatever, however we're leaving here? I guess we're not taking a train from this island, but on the plane, Lord, will our lives be any different than they were when we came? Will we be able to say, well, the food was good and the fellowship was good, but what really moved me was this or was that as You speak to us? And so, Lord, help us this morning to just pray for the receiving of what You have for us and not just saying agreement with it, but actually doing it. Observing Your word and observing the things that we have been reminded of in these days together. And so, Lord, now lead us in this time of prayer. And may we be led by Your Spirit in one accord so we can all be in agreement. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's pray.
Lift me to my
Father, you truly are great. Thank you for your faithfulness in always meeting us. And Lord, as we leave this room this morning, may we take just a lot of you with us, Lord, and consume us, and Lord, rule over us and reign in our hearts. And Lord, may we glorify you each day, and even as we go into breakfast or wherever. May that sweet aroma of Christ flow forth through each of us and each of the believers around the world today. May the 7 billion plus people be greatly affected by each one, Lord, one-on-one, one-on-two, or whatever, Lord. May you be honored and glorified. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.